This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This episode features helpful advice for preparing your pets for weather-related disasters. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. For many of us, the month of June is the beginning of the dreaded hurricane season. And with us today to share helpful advice on disaster preparedness for your pets and for you is Monica Layton. And for many years, Monica has shared valuable information on disaster preparedness on our show. And this is our 21st hurricane season together.
Oh, wow.
And I want to welcome back Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. Hey, Monica, how are you?
It does not seem like it's been 21 years.
I know. We were babies back then. Well, we did our first show, but this is our annual hurricane disaster preparedness show for the pets. Now, this is a long show because we have so much information to share, very, very pertinent information. And I know that I started it off that it's the hurricane season for those of us in Florida and in the Gulf, but it's also disaster preparedness for any weather-related disaster. So for those of you around the country with wildfires, floods, tornadoes, whatever, it's not just for hurricanes. This will benefit anyone with any sort of a weather disaster. So Monica, why don't we start? And I think that we're going to start probably with one of the most important things that kind of lays the groundwork, which is our pet IDs.
You know, we've learned about how important, you know, microchips are, especially, you know, in huge storms like Katrina, where you had pets that were being rescued and sent to foster in different states and families getting separated. One of the best things you can do for your pet is make sure they have identification. And we are talking identification on all levels. You want to make sure that you have your pet microchipped, but not only microchipped, you want to make sure they're registered. One of the most important things, microchip is easy. It's a small chip that's about the size of a piece of rice. They give it via injection between the shoulder blades and it transmits a number. And one of the most overlooked things when it comes to microchipping the pet is making sure that that number is kept up to date with your information. So a lot of people, you know, get confused as to, you know, is my number stored on that little chip? Is that what they get when they scan it? And it's literally just an ID number. And when you get that chip, oftentimes when the pet is adopted from a rescue or as a puppy, then that information is put into a system and you're given the ID number. So your ID number, you know, 1234, whatever it is, is looked up in a database and they say, okay, well, this is their address, this is their phone number, this is their emergency contact. And then life goes on, people get busy, and you don't think about it all the time. You think, I'm covered. And over the years, you move, or your emergency contact moves, or you change phone carriers, you change phone numbers, you change email addresses. And I always tell everybody, once a year, when you're getting your disaster stuff together, make sure that your information is up to date. Make sure that your chip information is correct. And not only having a microchip, but having some kind of identification on the pet is huge. If, you know, your pet gets scared when you're walking them, you know, before a storm or just in general, and they get out, some of the quickest ways they get home is by friends and neighbors that recognize your address nearby. Having a collar with the name and phone number on it, or having the pet ID tag. Rabies tags can be traced back to the owners off the licenses. But making sure that your pet is identified, even cattle, large animals, you know, in storms, people will put their phone numbers and stuff right on the pets when it comes to large animal care. There's a lot of ways you can identify your pet, but that is one of the most important things to do prior to having a storm be in place and then realizing after the fact, oh no, my contact info is not up to date. So that is always huge. The other thing is having a recent picture of your pet. A lot of pets have different kind of hairstyles, haircuts, they're groomed. Sometimes they have short hair, sometimes they have long hair if they're grown out, you know, not grooming time again. So definitely try to get a couple pictures of your pets, like pre-groom, post-groom. So that way, if your pet does escape, they look the way they look at that time in a picture. And that way you can use it for lost pet ads or to put it on social media. Also, another thing to have, the copies of the vet records and everything, but in a pet emergency form. So there's so many resources out there right now. And that's one of the big things that we talked about all during the disaster shows in the past is, you know, knowing your resources, knowing where you can go, knowing what you're going to do with your pets. Are you going to decide to stay home and ride out a storm or ride out an emergency? Are you, if you're evacuated, where are you going to go? Do you know a place in a neighboring town that accepts pets? Do you have everything you need for their pet policies? And oftentimes, depending on where you're located, they now have a lot more pet-friendly shelters. And pet-friendly shelters will generally have a form and information sheet, and some shelters are run differently than others. But because of allergies and things like that, your pets in every shelter are not always kept right with you. In some shelters, they're kept in a different section to help with people, you know, who have allergies that they can't be in, you know, where all of the people are. They may have the pets in a different portion of that facility in that shelter. And sometimes they're going to be cared for by other people. Having your pet's instructions, their medications, everything like that on a little sheet with their picture, their little, any quirks your pet has, having it all ready to go. So that way, if your pet is ever lost, you can post it. Hey, this is my name, my phone number. You know, my pet's on this medication. You know, this is their health needs. This is what they look like. Be cautious. Don't chase. You know, it's fearful. The pet will run. Or any pertinent information like that is always good to have in a paper format ready to go. So that way, if you are at a rescue and somebody else is taking care of that pet or a shelter, if the pet gets lost, no matter what the situation is, if you're separated from your pet, then they have everything they need to make your pet comfortable and be able to get your pet or care for your pet if you're not able to be there, depending on what's going on and what situation you're in during a disaster. So always start with info for your pet. Is my pet, you know, microchipped? Do I have tags on him? Can somebody get him back to me? And if he is separated, how are people going to know to get him back and what his medications or illnesses or anything is? So that's always bare minimum for me. The best place I always start with people is let's get him identified. Next, let's talk about during a storm. It's windy, you know, it's rainy, lots of sounds, even, you know, small changes in the house, like you packing things up or boarding up windows. All of that can cause a little bit of anxiety in our pets. The routines change. And when the wind starts going and the rain starts pounding on the windows, the pets are not going to want to go outside to go to the bathroom. So a couple tips for that. I know that for pets, depending on the size, they have those plastic pools you can get for kids. You can go to your Home Depot, wherever, buy a couple flats of sod, stick them in there, and you've got a little outdoor potty area that you can put right in your garage or, you know, run in a room or something. So that way your pet has a little grass. They can kind of be stimulated to go to the bathroom and not have to be outside in the elements, you know, being fearful or having a chance to possibly take off or run. Another thing that's great for our cats, you always want to have something that is big enough for them to be comfortable, but small enough to kind of secure them. And we talk about our pets, you know, like having our safe rooms ready in our house. And if you get into an emergency, you don't want to have to go running around the house trying to see where your cat is hidden or, you know, what bed they're underneath. Or, you know, you want to get them in a situation like a crate that's big enough to put your litter box in. And if you have a closet or a safe room already, then have a litter box in there and have it big enough to where the pet can come in and out of the inner box and still have a spot to lay down. So that way, if you are at home during the entire storm, you have the pet ready to go. They're in an area where you can grab them, put them in a carrier and go, so you're not searching, but they're also able to get some quiet, to kind of be relaxed enough to relieve themselves. That way they're not holding it for however long the storm is. And those of us who have been through hurricane season, sometimes the weather's, you know, not so great for, you know, a long stretch of hours. So you want to make sure that they have a, you know, a way to go to the bathroom, that they're not, you know, holding it for long periods of time, or you're having to go searching for them if there is any type of emergency. So potty pads are always something that you can try as well. You know, they have different types, and they have some that look like artificial grass, stuff like that, that you can kind of simulate the feeling of grass. But we found that the little tubs with the sod right in there works really, really well for the pets to relieve themselves. And I mean, next is the kit. You know, lots of stuff to cover in that.
Oh, before we get to the supply, the ever important supply kit, let's take a quick break. And when we'll come back, we'll talk some more with Monica about disaster preparedness for our pets. We will be back in just a moment. Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning 3-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone.
Hey, everyone. Michelle Byrne here. Are you looking to enhance your pet's health, wellness, and longevity? Since they can't communicate their feelings directly, Prosper Canine can help bridge the gap. Their simple cheek swab tests allow you to monitor your dog's health and well-being effortlessly. At Prosper Canine, they use cutting-edge technology to analyze genetics, breed, and the groundbreaking field of epigenetics. This means you can understand how your dog is aging, how stress affects them, and even their oral health status, which helps you stay ahead of conditions like gingivitis and bad breath. Take proactive steps towards your dog's health today. Visit Prosper Canine and order your test kits to start making informed decisions for your furry friend's well-being. Enter Best Bets and get 10% off all products at ProsperCanine.com. Prosper, the letter K, and number 9.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We're here with Monica Layton discussing the very important disaster preparedness advice for pet parents for weather-related disasters. And Monica, just before we broke, we were talking about pet IDs and some of the things to have in the house once the weather, you know, once the storm may hit. But we need to talk about the most important thing, which is the disaster pet supply kit, which I know is very important. One of the things we talk about each year is how it's so important to prepare and plan now, because you never know when it's going to happen. So let's talk about what we need in the ever important disaster pet supply kit.
Absolutely. And that's it. I mean, you want to be prepared and have all this stuff done in advance. So when it does happen, it's not, oh my gosh, where is this? Where is that? Do we have everything? Do we have all of us? You know, are we missing a pet? Are we missing a person? So, you know, I always say, you know, set up like a system in your house. Even if you have kids, they can all have a little, you know, job to do, and you can have all of your pets' information together, have it all set up to where this person is responsible for this pet and this other person is responsible for the other pet. And that way everybody is coming together. They're quick. They all have a job. They know exactly what to do. And you can kind of plan it as a family. Go through and be like, okay, guys, if it's time to go, who's doing what? And do you know where it is? So start out with the kit. Of course, we need our crate and carrier. You know, like I talk about for the cats, for our safe rooms, making sure it's large enough for the pet to turn around. But if it is a cat that you have to have a litter box in there for, making sure you can fit that in. And then, of course, for our dogs, making sure that there is a spot for a piddle pad or something. That way, if they're in there for a long period of time, then you have enough space for your pet to be comfortable. Of course, those pet ID forms that we talked about, information about your pet, a photo ID of your pet, super important. And again, you know, make sure that that photo isn't taken when they're a puppy and your dog's, you know, now 6 years old and, you know, may look a little different. So make sure that picture is totally up to date. Even if your cat is not used to wearing a collar or a harness, or your pet, no matter what they're used to doing, always have a collar and harness that is fitted for your pets and ready to go. I like to have an extra harness, even if they don't wear them on a regular basis, because harnesses are easy to hold the pet if it becomes a flooding situation. You know, we talked about having your pet life vests, which are really helpful if a dog ever has to tread water, or a cat. They get tired really quick. It's a lot of energy to tread for a while to get from one location to another. But if you have a harness or you have the pet life vest, they have handles on there and the leash attachments to where you can give them aid. And that way, you know, if they do become too tired to get through that themselves, then you can help them through by holding on to them. But always try to have a collar and harness that's fitted, ready to go on your pet during the storm with some kind of identification on it. We want copies of our vaccine records. That way, if you do have to go to a hotel or a shelter or just any place outside of your house that you may have to go with the pet, they're going to want to know that your pet is up to date on its vaccines. They're going to want a copy of the records. And let's be honest, some places are luckier than others when it comes to damage post hurricane. And if something happens to your vet's office, you don't want to have to need a medication or have a vaccine history or have, you know, your pet's medical records not be accessible because your veterinary office had damage. Maybe their computer system was damaged by water, or maybe the building, you know, had damage to where they can't open. So always make sure that you have, you know, your pet's vaccine records, their entire chart I usually recommend. Then, of course, the next step, medication. We always recommend a 3-week supply of each of your pet's medications. That way you don't run out of anything in a short matter. And then talk to your vet. If your pets frighten easily, or if they have problems with rainstorms normally, most hurricanes or tornadoes or fires, no matter what the emergency is always at a level that's more than a regular everyday storm or a regular everyday anxiety. So even if you have a calm pet, still recommend, you know, having some kind of sedative at home. Or anti-anxiety medication. You can talk to your vet and see which one they think is best for your pet. But it's definitely good to have on hand. You don't want to get in a situation where you don't have it and you need it. Disposable litter boxes. Very easy to do with shirt boxes. Like for the holidays, you'll have your gift boxes, the cardboard boxes. If you have big Ziploc bags, you can put the shirt box right in there and dispose of it. Use it for a day. Throw it away at the end of the day. Contains the smell. If you're in a shelter, the last thing you want is, you know, a bunch of litter boxes that are being stinky when you have to be in there a couple days sometimes. So it contains all of the smell. It can be clean on a regular basis. Your pet's not having to use a dirty box. So those little disposable litter boxes, or like I said, the shirt boxes, you know, make sure you have a scoop, extra cat litter, of course. And besides just the plastic bags, definitely have some paper towels, cleaning supplies. And we always recommend having a watertight container to put your disaster kit in. But I always recommend kind of bagging everything within your kit. That's how I do mine, and it seems to work really well. Because for some reason, if something does happen and water does get in, then your paper towels, your cleaning supplies, your medications, your food, everything is kind of contained within their own little Ziploc bags. So you have bags for each thing you need. You can find them easily instead of digging through a bunch of different items. You know, like, okay, this bag's all of my first aid. This bag is all of my cleaning supplies. This bag is all of my, you know, canned food and can opener. So it kind of sections it out, keeps it organized so you're not digging through a bunch of stuff in a box. And it also keeps it a little more protected. And of course, having your paperwork and everything in a plastic bag always. So we talked about our litter boxes. We talked about our sedatives and medication. So let's talk about food. Always want to have a 3-week supply of food and water in our kits. But it's really important that you're checking these kits on a regular basis to kind of swap around that food. So this is just how we do it in our house, and it may not be the best thing for everybody, but whenever I get a new bag of food, I put it into the disaster kit and I take the bag that's in the disaster kit and use it in the house. So we always have, you know, a bag going, but they're always swapped around. And our disaster kit is right on a shelf in the garage where it's easily accessible right there when you walk in. So it's easy just to pop it open, grab the bag, put the other replacement in, and bring it into the house when the pets need more food. But it keeps it swapped out. If it's something that you are just checking on a yearly basis, if even there's a chance that that food may not be in date anymore, it may not be that fresh. So I just find that as a way that works for me to keep it alternated all the time. But of course, you know, everybody do what's good for, you know, works for you, because the easier you make it on yourself, the more you're going to follow through with it. So however, you know, you do that, just making sure that the food is swapped around and kept fresh. Always have a manual can opener. You would be surprised how many of those pop cans, if your pets eat canned food, like the little pop tops just won't work, or they'll pop off and then you don't have the can all the way open. Even if you have those little pop top cans, still have a manual can opener just in case if your pet does eat canned food, because it happens to me on the regular all the time. And I'm not even in a situation to where we don't have anything available. Better to be covered and have it. Water bowls, food bowls. You know, you can use the little paper bowls that they sell at the store, so that way they're kept fresh and clean. Or there's a lot of plastic travel ones that you can kind of push down to save room. They're kind of collapsible. Those are great. Just making sure that, you know, you have bowls for the food and water. I love the little paper ones for wet food, because if you're in a rescue or a shelter or a hotel, sometimes it's always not the easiest to wash a lot of bowls and dishes and stuff like that. So the disposable, you know, paper ones are great for the canned food, in my opinion, because you just toss them, done. You don't have to worry about cleaning. Toys and blankets that your pet finds familiar is also a great thing to have in your kit. It has a smell of home that helps ease the anxiety. Also towels, you know, if your pet gets wet, it's raining. Towels also help when, you know, a cat is scared, if you have to move them out of a carrier into a crate or vice versa. Being able to wrap them in a towel for extra security and to grab hold of them, it's a very good thing to have. You can never have enough towels in there. Basic grooming items, again, if it's, you know, a hurricane or a tornado or a flood, pets get wet. Some of them have long hair. Definitely, you know, grooming supplies, basic items. Definitely nail clippers. I know it sounds funny, like, you know, if we're in a hurricane, are we going to be clipping our dog's nails? But if they get long or they get broken, pets will get scared and they'll run, or they snag their nails on things. And you want to have a nail clipper in case, you know, they crack a nail, so you can cut it off nicely and evenly. It just make sure you have all of the grooming items in there. It doesn't take a lot of room. And again, we talked about the detailed instructions, but having, you know, each of your medications labeled with what the instructions are as well. And in there, you know, the copy of any emergency numbers you have for your family. If you are separated and they can't get you, I always recommend, you know, having somebody out of the area as an emergency contact. Because if you're in a heavily affected area, you know, there's a good chance cell towers are down and phone lines are down. So having somebody that also available people that's, you know, a little outside of the area that can answer the phone and say, hey, you know, I know their plan was to go here. This is where they're planning to be. Then at least somebody knows where you're supposed to be. And if you don't make it there, can send help or know, you know, where to go to find you. They may know your route that you're going to take to get to a shelter or to get to a hotel. So it's good to know what those plans are. Give that to, you know, your emergency contact and let them be able to kind of be your backup, somebody to check in with. And it goes the same thing for your pet's information. You know, if your pet gets lost and they can't readily get at you on the phone because you are in an area that has phone lines affected, then they can at least get a hold of the emergency contact. And veterinarian's information, huge. If your veterinarian, you know, a lot of veterinarians do work during the disasters, that always have their information in there. Flashlight, batteries, and of course our pet first aid kit. I always kind of keep this one to last just because I feel like it's its own little entity within the disaster kit. But you will be surprised how many little, you know, minor injuries can be solved or at least made better by a small pet emergency kit. So I always recommend, you know, bandage materials, antiseptic, alcohol, peroxide, gloves, tweezers are a big one, a muzzle. The nicest dogs in the world, if they're in pain, they can, you know, nip or bite just out of pain reflex. So you may think, I don't need a muzzle. My dog is nice. He would never bite anybody. But if your pet gets hurt, it's better to be safe and protect your pet than have an issue to where somebody's trying to treat him or help him and, you know, have to worry about them getting bit because some things hurt and it's just within the pet's nature to kind of protect themselves in that manner. So it's always, you know, something that everybody should have in their kit. Of course, gauze, you know, basic, the soft wrap, something that you can put gauze around and tape it, you know, nicely to where it is not too tight on the pet, but it also secures and holds. So I love, you know, like the cling wraps that stick to themselves, things of that nature. And of course, the extra Ziploc bags to put everything in, kind of keep it organized. And, you know, last but not least, I always say, you know, keep a septic stick or the, you know, like when you clip your pet's nails, they have the powder that you could put on there to stop the bleeding if there's a nick, cut, something like that. But that can come in great for caught nails or even like little, you know, nicks on an ear, things like that. You know, maybe you had to go through trees or something to get to wherever you're going because hurricanes, tornadoes, trees usually are flying around everywhere. You know, just little things happen. And being prepared and having all of those items for when something does occur can be a huge difference between the anxiety level and the comfort of your pets and the entire family. It's always a stressful time in any household when something like that happens. And the more prepared you are, the more at ease you can be and focus on your safety instead of focusing on what am I forgetting. So that's why I always say the best thing is to be prepared, know where you're going to go, know what you're going to do, and have your stuff ready. So that way, the only thing you're thinking of is, I got this covered. We have everything we need. We're going to get through this safely. Let's go to wherever we got to go.
Well, Monica, this is such important information, very timely information for those of us who live in the hurricane belt here. So I want to thank you for sharing this valuable advice for pet parents, but not only for those of us in the hurricane area, but for any pet parent with any weather-related potential disasters and it's how to best prepare ourselves and our pets so that we are always ready because when disaster strikes, hopefully none of us are ever, we never encounter like some sort of a weather-related disaster. But the goal from this show is to try to make sure that we have you prepared now for any potential disaster, a weather-related disaster or, you know, something, loss of electricity, anything that could happen so that you're prepared. And like Monica said, you don't want to think about what did I forget? You want to think about, okay, there's my emergency care system. There's my emergency lighting. There's, you know, my emergency food, all of this stuff. Have your flashlights ready. Everything that you need, have it ready and prepared so that you're not thinking about it or wondering what you're going to do. Because there's Monica and I have both been affected by hurricanes. So we know the importance of when disaster strikes, you don't want to think about what you have to do because you may have forgotten something. You want to think about what you have to do to keep your family, your pets, everyone in your household safe. And all of us here, we care about you, and we hope that you and your fur kids and your family stay safe during this hurricane season. And again, Monica, I want to thank you. This is very timely and very valuable advice. And as always, you bring it to us in such a great way. So I thank you so very much.
Aw, thank you.
And you guys stay safe during this hurricane season, Monica, all of you and Haley and all your fur kids.
Thank you. Yes, you guys too.
All right. And all of you out there, please stay safe. We hope this helped. Thank you so much. We'll be back in just a moment.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.